Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
So we've been talking about the art of war, battle ready. We talked about how you can't wait until a battle or a crisis or something happens in your life to get ready. You've got to get ready ahead of time. Amen? And when you're ready ahead of time, then you can excel during those times of crisis. So we've been laying some foundations as we compare the military battle-ready army, if you will, airmen, whatever, to the spiritual army, amen? And we've been looking at these analogies. Today, we've talked a little bit last week about communication being a key to community. And today, we're going to talk about commitment. I want to look at the second key of community, which is the area of commitment. 2 Timothy, in the Message version, it says, "So, my son, throw yourself into this work for Christ. Pass on what you heard from me, the whole congregation saying amen, to reliable leaders who are competent to teach others. When the going gets rough, take it on the chin with the rest of us, the way Jesus did." Don't you love the Message? It's just so real. Take it on the chin like Jesus did. Jesus was a man. Okay, a soldier on duty doesn't get caught up in making deals at the marketplace or compared, some versions say he doesn't get involved in civilian duties, if you will, because he concentrates on carrying out orders, or he concentrates on pleasing the one who enlisted him in the army of the Lord, which is who? Jesus Christ, amen, above all. And then he goes on to say, an athlete who refuses to play by the rules will never get anywhere. It's the diligent farmer who gets the produce. Think it over, and God will make it all plain. Among many in the American church, I think commitment to the body of Christ, the local church, is not where God intends it to be. It's very easy to be influenced by our American culture that's me first, get mine, look out for number one, and for that to easily translate into how we live our spiritual lives. In the book of Acts, people were so committed to the body of Christ in the beginning that they actually bought and sold fields and made money so that they could help others that didn't have. They actually gave of their sustenance to help, and it says no one was in need. When true revival happens in the church, I believe that we'll see the same kind of behavior. Of course, we can't have that kind of behavior right now because many people in the church don't know each other intimately enough to know that they even have a need. We don't spend enough time together with the body of Christ so that they're willing to even admit that they have a need. There was someone here in the church a while back, and one day we're talking, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm about to lose my house." And I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, I haven't been able to make a mortgage payment in like 8 months and all this." And I was like, "Why didn't you tell somebody? We could have prayed with you." I said, "We've helped people before. I mean, cover a month. I mean, I don't know if we could cover eight, but if we could, we would. Amen." And I said, "But there's other people that might be of help." And it's like, "Well, we're just not the type where we tell our business to people." And you've got to think, okay, there's a balance there, right? There's a balance there. When you're about to lose your house that God gave you for your family, you know, maybe it's time to ask for some help. Amen. Talk to someone. Find out what resources are available. How can we be intimate and meet needs if we don't know the needs are there? This first church had real community. When they said family first, it didn't just mean their biological family, but the family of God. The reality is, I believe the way that we use the term family first today is not the way the New Testament intended it to be used. Because when it comes to setting priorities in our life, sometimes I think it's easy, like I said, for the culture and our own selfishness, which we're still dying to every day, right, to get in the way and become higher priority. Whenever we list our priorities, I've heard it said like this. I've said this in my own life. I've told people, you know, hey, just make sure you keep your priorities straight, right? Like God, family, my job, because it takes care of my family, church, hunting, fishing, boating. Now, I got to say hunting, fishing, boating probably should be a little higher, but hey, that's just my personal opinion. So, as we learned about the knowledge of good and evil versus the tree of life, do you see any problems with this list based on what we're learning in the body of Christ? Does anybody see any problem with this list? I mean, I've said this. Have you said this? God first, then my job, then my family, or my family and my job, then my church family, right? But what's wrong with this list? Anybody?
Church family should be your family.
Hallelujah. One prophet in the house. Exactly right. How can we say that God is first and then separate it by our job and family, which clearly in the scripture we just read about, Paul told Timothy, a warrior for Christ and his kingdom doesn't get involved in civilian affairs. So maybe it's not right to do it this way. Maybe we should draw a diagram another way. I was thinking this weekend that how we easily bite into things because we're told it our whole life. Even well-meaning ministries, James Dobson, others will say, God, family, then church. Well, just because James Dobson says it, does that mean it's right? What does the New Testament say? The New Testament says, Paul told singles, hey, I'd recommend if you've got the gift of celibacy, don't even get married. Because once you're married, you spend all your time taking care of your husband and your wife, and you don't have as much time to take care of the kingdom of God. Now, does that mean that marriage is bad? It's not the sanctity of marriage? No. But I'm just saying there's a lot more in the New Testament that we tend to brush over and ignore, right? Paul also says that Jesus says there'll be no giving or taking in marriage in heaven. Right? We won't be married in heaven. And yet we spend our whole lives saying the most important relationship in the whole world is your husband and wife. Well, eternally it's sure not. I know this is like, I thought this was a family church, right? You're thinking about now. Hang on with me, all right? Hang on. It is a family church. It is a family church. But as a pastor and a leader in the body of Christ, I pray about, Lord, why don't we see more revival break out in our church? Why don't we see the things happen that happened in the book of Acts? Why don't we see more community like you want to build here in Spring Creek? And when we start a series on the art of war, battle ready, mission first, and I start to see these things in the scripture where the priority's out of whack, we've got to adjust it and make it right. Because if we don't, we can't expect the results that God says we'll have when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Let's start here with a minute about what a priority is. Priority is the fact or condition of being regarded or treated as more important. So we hear statements like the safety of the country takes priority over any other matter. Well, when we're being attacked, it does, right? In that context, it takes priority. Synonyms: prime concern, most important consideration, primary issue, a thing that is regarded as more important than another. I thought some of you might like this one. The plural noun priorities, the dictionary says, housework didn't figure high on her list of priorities. That was just in the dictionary. I did not make that up, all right? I'm just reading what was in the dictionary. I just thought it was funny. Think about this one. It says, traffic in the right lane has priority. Now think about if we didn't prioritize traffic rules. All right, we're like, look, the highest priority is that my kid gets to Awana on time, bless God, to learn the Bible verses, right? And so we're just going down the road, and we just decide, well, I don't see any cars. I'll just disregard this stop sign. Oh, forget about the red light. I mean, that could have disastrous results, right? Could be dangerous to your health. And I want you to know this morning that it could also be dangerous to your health if you allow other things to take the place of God's highest priority in your life, and that is he's enlisted you to be his son and daughter and to serve your heavenly Father first and foremost, no matter what. Amen? Mission first. I've observed the enemy at work in the lives of good, well-meaning Christians that are sold out to the kingdom of God and the local church and serving. Then something changes. They get offended or hurt. Then instead of objectively looking at the offense to gain understanding and take one on the chin, like the verse said, right, they throw out the baby with the bathwater. That priority of the kingdom of the body of Christ gets clouded. Only those that understand mission first stay the course. But sadly, many take another route. Something happens, and then like a turtle that pulls its head into a shell, they pull in because of hurt or fear or a fear of commitment, fear of trusting, whatever it might be. And then they pull back, and in fear, we pull back to what we know. Well, one thing we've known ever since we got married, said I do, and those little ones started popping out, right? We know family, right? So many times when we go into our shell afraid to step out into new areas in the kingdom of God, we withdraw into our shell of family. And we can pour so much into that because what? At least that's one thing we're comfortable with. Some people aren't comfortable with their family. So when they pull into their shell, they don't pour into family because their family's a wreck too. What they do is they go pour into their job and work harder and harder because that's one thing I know, that if I do X, Y, Z, I get the paycheck, I take care of my family, et cetera, et cetera. The point is we withdraw and fall into normal patterns of living versus the kingdom reality. Remember we talked about the American dream versus kingdom reality? Well, this is what I'm talking about. So I've seen more than one Christian get hurt or offended. They pull away from the body of Christ, and then things start to not go well in their family. Children, etc., go astray, whatever might happen. But they don't ever make the connection of what changed in their life, and that was pulling out of the reason that we're here, which is to be a part of the body, to be a part of that army. We've got to get you preaching, Mariah. That was some good preaching you were doing there with that song. Amen. Part of the body of Christ to do what God's called them to do. It reminds me of the old show I used to watch growing up. Remember the Lone Ranger? What was his cry when he'd take off? Hi-ho, Silver, away! Right? Well, that's what the cry of a lot of folks are in the body of Christ. They just say, hey, this wasn't good. Hi-ho, Silver, away. But what they don't understand is you can't be the lone Christian. There's no such thing in the New Testament of being a Christian. People say, well, do you have to go to church or be a part of the body of Christ to be a Christian? Yes, you do. According to the New Testament, you must be born again, and you're born again into this spiritual family that you serve in and grow into. Amen? With all the gifts and abilities that God has given you. Maybe the better cry would be, hi-ho, Satan, away! Why? Because who do you think wants to isolate you and get you off on your own? Right? Who do you think he wants to put you in the corner and feel the shame and the condemnation? Not like the shame and condemnation you're getting this morning. That's actually conviction. Okay, there's a difference, if you have any. So you never know exactly what happens with folks, but they can get tired, distracted, whatever. But we've got to keep the mission first. We get this question sometimes in counseling. My husband doesn't want me to come to worship service and worship. What would you counsel them based on the scripture? Anybody? Oh, man, the prophet speaks again. We got to get you preaching, bro. You're in TCT now. We got to get you preaching. Mission first, exactly. The counsel would be God's law is higher than man's law. Your submission to your husband goes to a point until it contradicts with the kingdom of God, then your heavenly father is your husband above that husband because he's not under the authority of the husband that he should be, which is Christ. Does that make sense? Okay, good answer. Man, can you come to next service too? Because if you don't, it's going to be way dead compared to you being here. I'm just saying. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. Now it might be an AK-47 or who knows what, right? I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Then Jesus was hanging out, and his biological family showed up. When Jesus was still taking care of the crowd, his mother and brother stood outside wanting to speak with him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to speak to you. He replied to them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Do we have the same mind as Christ when it comes to who our family includes? Do we show more commitment to our biological family than the family of God? Imagine this story. Once upon a time, there's a lady named Brandy. And Brandy could not have children. So she prayed and prayed. Kind of like that lady in the Old Testament. Remember her? Thought she was drunk when she was at the altar. Because she was praying, muttering words. She's like, you been drinking? That's in the Bible. I don't make this stuff up. You guys read your Bible. You just read that, right? You did. Yeah, you were telling me about it. So Brandy can't have kids. She prays and prays. And then one day she conceives. She finds out by God's grace she conceived a miracle baby. When the baby was born, she named her Hope Unique Miracle. Her initials were hum. Brandy and Hope did everything together. They homeschooled, they picnicked, they explored the outdoors, they shot their bows together, they played sports together. They were like the yin and yang of mother and daughter relationships. But then one day, Brandy says to her daughter, Hope, Hope, I've been meaning to talk to you. I've written down several issues that have bothered me about you, Hope, for the last 2 years. So here they are. Then she proceeds to list the offenses one at a time. Hope responds, Mommy, I'm sorry. Some of those things I need to work on. Thank you. And others are just, I think, your way of seeing things and my way, different generations. Some are just kind of silly. But thanks for finally sharing with me, Mom. Then Hope asks, Mom, why did you wait 2 years to talk to me? Brandy has no answer. But Brandy says, well, Hope, thanks for sharing. Then Brandy and Hope go to bed that night. The next morning when they wake up, Brandy's gone. She just left her family and daughter. Hope doesn't even know why for sure or which one of these issues caused the abandonment. She calls her mom and says, Mom, did you leave because you're upset with me? You didn't come home last night. She says, no, Hope, I'm not upset. Just wanted to visit a new family. Bye. And hangs up the phone. Now, Hope never hears from her mom again. And if you heard this story in the answer, you'd be like, what kind of commitment does this mom have, right? What kind of tenacity or perseverance? The method she employed to keep a list of wrongs from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil for 2 years? And you may think this sounds like a horrible, totally bizarre story. But yet, for example and teaching's sake today, I'll tell you, that's exactly what happened with two families that attended Christ Community that had been here from the beginning. One person had a mental list for 3 years he'd kept note of and finally met with me. Another one actually had a written list that sat down with me and proceeded to go through all the things that are so silly just because of confidentiality. I won't even tell you how silly some of them were, but it was absolutely bizarre. What did they not do? They didn't take the time to communicate and come to whoever they were upset with, whether it was you, me, the pastor, it doesn't matter who, right? And sit down and say, Pastor, help me gain understanding. And I share that with you today because if I mention who these families were, you would be like, what? I thought they were godly families committed to the body of Christ, sold out for Jesus. And my answer would be, I did too. And that's why when I share in these messages, be careful when you think you stand lest you fall. I share with you real life examples so that you'll realize, but for the grace of God, you could be in that same situation. And then I try as your pastor to teach you things and teach you how to live the very basics of building community and Christian life so you won't fall into that trap. Because see, the reality is that no matter how spiritual the families thought they were, that if you don't live by the very basics of scriptures to go to someone when there's offense instead of making a list for 2 or 3 years, you're not walking in the scriptures as you thought you were. And when you don't do that, you end up down a path you don't want to go. It's like the trout that sees the power bait ball floating on the bottom. And he's like, that looks like a good meal, right? Man, that just sounds right. That looks like a good meal. And then he bites down on it. But then when he bites down and feels the prongs of the treble hook, he realizes, this is taking me a direction I don't want to go. And I, as your pastor, want to warn you ahead of time to be able to see and discern what it means to really live what the scriptures say. Amen? It's a good preaching, Pastor Chris. And then to make it worse, sometimes people, and whether this happened or not, I'm just saying I've seen this happen before, but what makes it worse is instead of going to the person to talk about the offense because we need to get it out, we go and we gossip and we slander other people trying to win them to our side so we feel better about the bad choices that we make. That's where Proverbs 10 comes into play. I'll give you two different versions to make sure that it's clear. He who hides hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. When there are many words, transgressions and offenses are unavoidable. But he who controls his lips and keeps thoughtful silence is wise. And in the Complete Jewish Bible, it says, he who covers up hate has lips that lie. And anyone who slanders is a fool. When words are many, sin is not lacking. So he who controls his speech is wise. I wanted to share that verse in context because many times people, when they're big talkers, you know, like my wife's sanguine personality, loves to talk, 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 talk. That doesn't mean that because she talks all the time that sin's going to be in that. This is a specific context where you haven't handled things the right way because of your offense or hatred or whatever, and you go spread a bunch of stuff around. Does that make sense? So all you sanguine women and men out there, free to talk your heads off, amen? That's not going to lead to sin because your heart is in the right place, amen? But there's a lesson here, folks. If you think the enemy can't get into your life and make you like a Pharisee where you sit in judgment of everyone else and make your hit list, if you will, of all the things that are wrong, when you judge people of a standard that you don't even live by yourself, you're in the danger zone, amen? You've lost sight of what it means to really be family. We need each other. We must commit to the community of Christ, the local body of Christ, as deeply as we do our own families. In the same way we would never run out on our natural families, we should never run out on our spiritual family, the local body of Christ. I know this is hard to grasp a little bit, but when Jesus taught some hard things in the New Testament, many of the disciples were like, hey, this is just too hard. I do good just to do the 9-to-5 and take care of my own family. Now you're saying that I should put the family of God on a same plane and love them the same as I do my own wife and kids. They're like, that's just not happening. Well, let's look at this next slide. This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? Disciples felt like we did, amen? But Jesus, being aware of his disciples complaining about it, said to them, does this offend you? It is the spirit that gives life. Remember the tree of life? It is the flesh. The flesh is useless, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. Folks, you might not realize the seriousness of it, but when you make a commitment to do something for the Lord and then just easily bail on it because you're busy or you forgot or whatever, there's people that are counting on you to do what you say you're going to do. So if you think, well, you know, folks, the church is not a grocery store. It's not a restaurant, right? It's not a gym. You don't decide where you're going to go because of how the coffee tastes. Amen? Hopefully you don't. I mean, we got some good coffee. I know that. We get it from Costco. But hopefully there's a higher level commitment than that. Amen? And so some of you might not like the coffee. I say y'all laughing like we don't like the coffee here. But they're still here. Praise the Lord. And you may think, well, Pastor, you know, I just don't know, you know, about all this. All I'm really trying to say to you is that think about the way you live your life. If you're called to Christ's community, we're called to build community. So the things you do and live should build community. If you've committed to, say, have your home group and you're supposed to have it and then you just cancel it and drop it that night. This actually is a true story. We had a home group that was going to meet that night. The person got upset with the pastor because I spoke some pretty pointed words of correction, instruction, and rebuke. Because I felt as leaders, they should be at that level. If you get closer to Pastor Chris and are a leader, I speak to you frankly if I feel like I should, and I hope you do the same for me. Amen? So when I spoke this person got all upset, drama, and canceled her home group that night. First time it was going to meet. Well, what this person didn't know is there's a new family here with 6 kids that had been assigned to that group. He was struggling with wanting to build community after moving from a small island. And because that group was canceled that night, he wanted to find a group. The group never got going. He found one at another church, thank God. And him and his wife and 5 or 6 kids left Christ Community because that night they were so counting on that group and it didn't happen. Folks, if you plan things, if you commit to the body of Christ to do things and don't get it done, what that tells me is you have no expectations of God moving in your life for what you're doing. You're just thinking it's business as usual. Like checking a box. Oh, it's break time at work. Check the box. Oh, community group. Check the box. I would hope that you understand what Pastor Chris has been preaching for weeks and years now, that we're the body of Christ, that the Holy Spirit wants to work in and through you, that he could change people's lives if you're just obedient to open your home, if you're just obedient to get involved and do what he's called you to do, because we all have a gift. We all have a place to serve. Amen? Come on, Pastor Chris. That's some good preaching. Amen. So if you leave over hurt feelings, but the Muslims will die and kill others for their faith, I wonder why we don't see revival in our land. Folks, the Bride of Christ, as I said before, is not a restaurant or a movie theater or a grocery store. You don't pick and choose a local church based on how good the coffee tastes. Amen? The priority of the kingdom is higher than our jobs, our careers also. And you'd be like, what? Let me do it for you like this. All right, so let's do it in circles, because priorities, I think, can look wrong if you list them. Because I remember I used to tell my kids, my priorities are God, and then your mom, and then you kids. She used to always be like, I wish you wouldn't say that to them. I don't want them to feel like they're less or lower and all that. But I'd be like, no. One thing that Bill Cosby was right about, or Flip Wilson, whoever it was that said it, is that, you know, if you die or I kill you, I can make another one of you kids, right? I can't make another wife. I mean, that's a joke. That's a joke, okay? Not suggesting anybody knock off your kids for the kingdom's sake, all right? So let's just say this big circle is the kingdom of God, okay? This is the kingdom of God. We were out here looking in, but then we became born again, and we're dead center in it, all right? So within the kingdom of God, we've got family, the body of Christ. That's not a chicken. Bok, bok. That's the body of Christ. That's what I would use for the body of Christ. We've got our jobs. We've got fun. Look, you need to go out and have fun. Enjoy the outdoors. Catch trout. Do something, you know. Keep yourself balanced. Don't be a weirdo. And all you ever do is sit in your house and play your guitar and sing to the Lord and never get out and be real. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Okay, well. Anyway, so probably upset someone else. You never know, right? All right, so family, body of Christ, fun, job, these are all in the kingdom of God. So what we're talking about here this morning is when one grows so big in your life that it grows so big and takes up so much, whether it's your job or whatever it is, your hobbies and fun, even serving to the extent that you neglect any of these that blow up bigger than they should be, become an idol in your life. And the one we're most prone to, you know, you hear this saying sometimes. You hear this saying, well, some people just get so involved in ministry and they neglect their families. Okay, like I've heard that, but I've been here 3.5, 4 years and I haven't met anyone like that yet. I'm just saying, I wonder sometimes if we just say that because it sounds good and the enemy uses that to keep us from really being all in the kingdom. Because how many people have you really met that they were so into ministry they neglected all the rest of everything? What I found actually is those that are really all in the kingdom, they keep these other things in such great balance that they're a great example for all to follow. Another phrase the enemy uses, you're so heavenly minded, you're so earthly good. Holy poop. I mean, come on. Really? Who's really that way? You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good? That makes no sense. The truth is, the more heavenly minded you are, the more good you can do in this earth, because you see into eternity and realize it's about this big, the life we're living now versus the one that's forever, right? Amen, Pastor Chris. This is good preaching. Folks, mission first means we keep our family a very high priority, but not higher priority than the kingdom mission. The Mormons raise good, polite families that practice altruism, are faithful, productive citizens, and attend church more regularly than most. So if the goal was just to raise a good family and love your family first, then why not be Mormon? But the family is not the highest goal, folks. Training a family is a calling and responsibility in the kingdom, but it's not the pinnacle. The pinnacle is God's glory, His kingdom come, His will be done, His mission first. So once again, what's His mission? That we're reconciled to God in Christ, built on Christ. And then we allow Him to work through us by the power of His Spirit to reconcile others to Himself, building community, teaching them to learn discipleship, servant leadership, generosity, and obey all His commands. Go love. I put that together so you would see how the things that Christ Community stands for are directly into and drive from the mission, amen, of Christ. The mission can only be accomplished in community through the body of Christ. There was a study done that was part of the Chaplain Corps conference I was at, Faith Works, and they found that, you know, sometimes you hear like the divorce rate among Christians is just as high as the world, right? And you hear all these stats that say, oh, we're just as bad. Well, here's the deal. Those studies are done on individual surveys of people that just claim to be Christian versus not. If you actually look at a deeper study, it's actually 34 pages, 36. Half of that is footnotes and study notes. There's only a 15-page document. I can send it to anyone that wants it. But in the study they did, they actually found that marital satisfaction and divorce rate was lower, that things like the drugs and addictions and stuff were lower. And you're like, well, what's the contradiction? What's the difference? The difference was it wasn't taken among people that just individually said they were Christians. It was taken among all different religions that practice their religion in community. And when they practice their religion in community, the divorce rates, the drugs, the alcohol, that actually went down. Folks, even non-Christian religions that live and practice in community have better lives than those that are out on their own, because they're, in a sense, gleaning from what God intended in the beginning, that we be the body of Christ. Amen? And to be a living body of Christ has got to be priority in our lives. Well, I'd love to host a home group, but my husband doesn't want to. Well, it's time to talk to your husband and say, honey, kingdom first. You go fishing that night if you want to, but I want to host. This house is mine too. Amen, women? This house is mine too. And while you're on your downshifts, I'm hosting a community group, because it's what God wants to do. If I'm going to be a part of Christ's community, I'm going to be in community. Well, might just have Matthew come alive with you, that a man fights against his own flesh and blood, right? If one's, look, folks, it's very rare that people in your family want to go against. It's not like on purpose you blow up the family and make it an idol. It's just that, you know, you get used to the routine of doing it, and you know it's your responsibility, but your responsibility is just bigger than that. It's not that you're going to have people that are actively fighting against what God wants to do in your life, but we all, even in Christian homes, need to step up and mentor and sharpen one another as husband and wife to say, are we sure as a family as a whole we're still on track with God's values and priorities in our life? When Steph got her new job, that's one of the things we did, was sit down and say, okay, we've never been a two-income family. What are we going to do with this extra money? And she didn't want to have any fun with it. I had only just like go to Hawaii, you know, different things like that. I'm a real spiritual guy, right? And she's like, no, we need to pay cash. We need another car, and we should pay cash for that. And Mariah might need braces and all these practical things. I'm like, oh, okay, that's a lot of fun. But to my credit, I was like, I'd really like to give a lot to the building campaign, the debt reduction. So we're praying about that. But the point is, when things change in our lives, we've got to reevaluate. We can't assume that we're just doing everything right. Folks, be careful when you stand, lest you fall. That's how you get off track. This mission can only be accomplished in community through the body of Christ. Romans 12 says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by faith God has given us, by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Folks, this is interesting how Paul words this when he talks about the body of Christ. He warns us right here, don't think you're better than you really are. Conceited, whatever. But I also say in this, don't think you're better than you really are, saying that you can be the lone Christian. You know, if you think that sometimes, you know, when you're not out and you're not in town, but let's say you're in town, you're like, you know, I just really need a break from the body of Christ and a break from church. Do you ever say that about your wife? Well, don't answer that question. Don't answer that question. Pastor Chris. All right, so you get the idea? He's saying don't think you're better than you are. If you think you can be off being the lone Christian, that's very conceited. That's very haughty. That's very arrogant. Because he says, then basically you're saying you don't need each other. And we need each other regularly. Amen? Just like a prescription. If you took it once in a while, laid off a few weeks, laid off a month, then you start taking it again, what would the doc say? Look, you got to take this regularly or it's not going to work for you. Same in the body of Christ. Amen? Have we got the point yet? They're like, yes, please shut up. Okay. So as we wrap up this morning and go out to that song, that one you did, Mariah, let's do that one again. I know you hate doing that again, but that's a great song. All right, so let's cue that one up. Just ask yourself this morning, am I committed to the body of Christ? Do I love folks in my church family as my mother or father or brothers or sisters? Because Jesus said he did. If not, let's start to ask the Holy Spirit to help us change, reorganize, reevaluate our priorities. Amen? Amen.